Now, the rest of the story. It was supposed to have been a pleasure cruise. Then, 2:30 one morning, the black stillness was broken by a scream, a man's scream. The voice in agony drew ship's personnel to one cabin door. There was a passenger inside. He was in terrible pain. The ship's doctor was summoned, a Dr. Black. He examined the passenger. The symptoms were confusing, disturbing. It seemed to the physician that the man was on the verge of death. Suddenly, a lucid moment intruded on the passenger's delirium. "I am dying," the stricken man confided, "of something called Bright's disease." The doctor nodded. The symptoms made sense now. "Does your family know?" the doctor asked. The man replied that no one knew, only the physician who had discovered it and the specialist who had confirmed the diagnosis. For the next 2 hours, Dr. Black applied steaming towels to the passenger's body. The treatment seemed to help. A mild sedative was administered. The patient rested. By noon the following day, he was still unable to swallow liquid, but by evening he'd actually managed to dress and take a brief stroll on deck. The fatal kidney affliction had lost one battle in a war that eventually it was certain to win. You see, the Bright's disease victim's name was Chet, and Chet was to remain alive for 3 years more. Until the last, he was to insist to friends, even to loved ones, that he was well when he was not, that he was recovering, even when he knew he stood at the threshold of death. If he ever gave up, he never let on. The two physicians who made the original diagnosis did not relate further what they knew. Dr. Black, the ship's doctor who treated Chet that one dark night, was sworn to secrecy. He never told. And thus did Chet's terminal malady bear a series of euphemistic descriptions to satisfy suspicious ears. Anybody who would ask what's the matter with him would be told seasickness, or once Dr. Black called it sunstroke, or somebody else called it indigestion. Once, when he was conspicuously ailing, the doctor had to call it a mild attack of malaria. Any explanation except the correct one. The correct one was unacceptable. A stubborn man, he was called when the truth came out posthumously, and the doctor said it was quite true that troubling others was in itself troublesome to Chet, but there was something greater at stake, for what ailed him, Chet realized, would inevitably ail the nation, and that, on his conscience, he could not bear. And so it was for his country that he disguised his pain behind a smiling mask, knowing that vigorous pretense would only hasten his demise. He nonetheless remained vigorous and completed his term in office, filling the executive mansion with lights and laughter. Reports of the day relate that a solid, strapping vice president took the reins when President Garfield, of gunshot wounds, died. Now you know better. Now you know what Chester Arthur himself knew. That the fellow who in 1881 stepped into the shoes of an assassinated president was himself even then, already, a dead man. That is the rest of the story.